Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show featuring Irvington Mayor, the Honorable, I should say, Mayor Wayne Smith.
How are you, sir?
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
You sound pretty good. Things must be going well. How's the missus?
She's great. Had a good business week this week, so I got smiles all over.
All right, then I guess Mrs. Smith is looking for dinner date at one of the posher establishments in the area.
Always.
That's right. Got to treat this right, boy, because I tell you.
That's right.
How's the
happy wife makes a happy life.
That's right. Right. Man had no better gift than a wife, something like that. Says anyway, everybody, welcome to the program. Yours truly, Ron Kelly, Mayor Wayne Smith is here as well, and we got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. And you know, Mayor Wayne, there was something. Well, let me just let everybody know we're going to be talking about Sandra Bland. You know, and I wasn't even aware of this. I saw it on Facebook. Sandra Bland, the young black woman.
Yeah, she was very active in a sorority.
And she was killed in police custody down in Texas. We're going to talk about that. Also, Trump. Trump is still number one. And has he destroyed the GOP's chances?
I saw your comments on
that. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Also, this Iran nuke deal, we are definitely going to get into that. And Mr. Obama, we'll talk about that and, you know, the backlash that come from that. And what I think that the impact of his visit to that prison made, and even, you know, until consequently he was greeted by in Oklahoma, and he was greeted by a phalanx of Confederate flags flying all over the place when his contingent drove up to the jail. So we'll talk about that. What's wrong with Tiger? You're doing a little bit of sports today. What's wrong with Tiger? Tiger Woods was considered one of the all-time great golfers, and now I could probably do better. I've never played golf in my life. So
that's what too many girls would do for you.
Too many extra girlfriends, yeah, because it seemed like his
game went down, right?
He needs a black.
I remember playing high school basketball, and the coach used to always tell us, "Don't be bothering them girls before the game."
And yeah, he's bothering a few of them.
Yeah, listen, yeah, they sap your energy.
He's still looking for his. We'll get to that as well. And plus, we'll take your phone calls here. It's 347-426-3214. That's 347-426-3214. You can call in and talk to myself or Mayor Wayne Smith. You can get us on the Facebook page, Ron Kelly Show, et cetera. Shout out to our fearless leader over the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, the director, Marty Herstein, who I'll be getting with next week, Monday, first day of school. For the Ron Kelly contingent, first day of school, Connecticut School of Broadcasting, one of the top
All
schools.
All right, good. Well, much success.
The top
much
schools,
success.
That's right, one of the top schools in the United States of America. We're going to take this thing all the way to syndication. You just watch and see. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. It's just a few minutes past the hour. And the other thing I want to talk about, Mayor Williams, how did ISIS get here in the first place? You know, I've been battling the social media about ISIS in Iraq and also Afghanistan. And how did these situations come about in the first place? Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein. How did ISIS, what gave ISIS the freedom to do what it's doing now? We're going to talk about that. And also the appeal of ISIS, Mayor Wayne, with the shooting today in Tennessee. Yeah, down in Tennessee, the shooting, condolences to the families. Right. Mm-hmm. Condolences to the families of four Marines who were killed, and the one sailor, I believe, who was wounded but is still alive from the last report. We're going to talk about that as well. We got a jam-packed show for you this afternoon, so we're going to get right to it. Everybody, don't forget to call number 347-426-3214, or you can get us on Facebook, Ron Kelly Show. Twitter, it's the Ron Kelly Show, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can get at us. All right, man, Wayne, so, you know, Sandra Bland. Miss Sandra Bland, I just saw the video.
Oh, there's a video? I didn't see the video.
There's a video, right, but whoever videoed it can do a good job. But Sandra Bland, mm-hmm. young lady who you know, and one of the things that really disturbs me, Wayne, is how they treat these black women. You don't never see white women on the ground, and this isn't a white or black show, so don't start that racism nonsense. I mean, we're being racist, because we're not, because you don't see white women with niggas on the back of their neck. You don't see that. You don't
not
see
very
that.
Often.
Not no, well, hardly at all. But she, you know, so I saw a little bit of the video, and it kind of looked like the person who was taping it was a little nervous about doing it. They didn't do a good job at all.
Well, they probably were shocked. Probably, you know, sometimes you try to react with sense. They say, "Let me get this on tape." You don't want them to see you. Number one. And number two, you're probably nervous about what's going on.
Well, see, any other thing, too, it's kind of ridiculous. It's the same that, that she committed suicide. I mean, give me a break. She was stopped by the police for a taillight, having a taillight out. You can't even begin to start telling me who's been killed herself because she had a taillight out. Now, before she found dead of an apparent suicide, they're saying, give me a break. Sandra Bland called the sales bondsman. Where is the guy who she called? And he says he talked to her when she first went there and called her mother for her. You know, and then he wouldn't say anything else about the. That's what would get to the news people about her. And it only cost $500 to get out there. $500. So why would she take her own life after working with a bail bondsman to secure her freedom? And the family, she has a sister, Sharon Bland, who is saying that, you know, they just can't believe that she would kill herself. So something else went on here, Mae Wayne. This is, you know, this is another one of those things. And it's bad enough that they're doing it to the men, but now I think they're getting a little out of hand when they start doing it to the women as well. Now, they're saying his body was discovered by a jail worker on Monday.
Actually, it's actually a bigger problem than people know. My son is doing research on the level of police brutality in women who don't necessarily end up dead but end up abused in other ways. And so there seems to be, you know, like every kind of problem that surfaces until somebody gets the right tension, sometimes it's the media, but according to my son's research, what he's doing for school, there's a tremendous amount of black women in particular who have been in police custody and have had challenges. So this will probably ratchet that data up now. He actually did an article for Ebony Online, I think a month or two ago. He just did one that came out the other day on the black church and what's going on in the black church. So, but yeah, it's a much more prevalent problem than we even know.
It's absolutely a problem. And, you know, now admittedly, not in the defense of the Warren County Sheriff's Office, but now she has said, because she would send her videos on Facebook, traumatic stress disorder. Now, she had told people in Facebook video, and I quote, "I got to be honest with you guys. I've been dealing with something some of you all may be dealing with now. It's a little bit of depression as well as PTSD," unquote. This is what Sandra Bland said in the video that she had put on Facebook in March of the year. So this is what's going to happen. You know, because now, let me say this first. She was found by a jail worker Monday. And she was hanging from but they're saying Bland was hanging by unspecified means. This is from Daily. This is from the Daily Beast. Everyone's familiar with you out there, Daily. And they said she was hanging by unspecified means. Now, police did not have. The police said she did not have shoelaces or a blanket herself. So how the hell did she die if she didn't have anything to hang herself with? But an autopsy performed the next day. Yeah, I was fast. An autopsy performed on Tuesday listed her the cause of death as suicide by asphyxiation. Now, her family and many people online suspect foul play. Now, the autopsy report contains that and much more detailed information is not yet made available. And see, and these are the things right here, Mayor Wayne. These are the things. They're saying what she killed herself with. They're holding back on the autopsy report, releasing it. You see, these are the things that raise suspicion. So it's not that we all jump to conclusions. Oh, just something's wrong. I mean, it's these things that they do, you know, these sneaky little things that they do, it raises suspicion, Mayor Wayne. People, would you agree with that? I mean, I certainly believe that it's a that's probably information and these little things that they do. That's a problem. What I can say that means the girl used to kill herself.
Yeah, they didn't identify it yet, huh?
Yeah, well they're saying that they identified it because they found her in that cell, so somebody
they didn't say the reason why.
They're saying that she died. I mean, they what they're doing is they're circling back at this, and it's all up, and they're saying if the girl died, they're categorizing her death as a suicide by asphyxiation. Mm. But they're not saying, now, her body
what caused asphyxiation?
On Monday. Right. Causes hanging, suicide, hung herself. But they're not saying. Well, see, they say she had shoelaces or a blanket in her cell. Two of the things that she could have used to kill herself. But see, now the problem that I have is that they're saying she was hanging by unspecified means. So that means that they're not telling us what she used to kill herself. That's
right.
Suspicion number one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No. And all right, she killed herself. Was she hanging by a blanket? Was she hanging by what means did she use to kill herself? Now, she didn't have a blanket and she didn't have shoelaces. So how did she kill herself? They're not saying. See, that's a problem there. They're not being forthcoming. And also, the autopsy report has not been released. Now, if you found the girl, you categorize it as a suicide. Why did you release the autopsy report? See, these are the things that get people, you know, upset. You know, they pop up and sharp and they say we jump to conclusions. No, we're not jumping to conclusions. It's just, I mean, be forthcoming with all the information you have at your disposal. Now, you took pictures. It was a crime scene. You took pictures of her hanging there, you know, before you move the body. So everybody, I guess Warren County Sheriff's Office knows what happened to her because they were there. But now they're saying that they don't know. I mean, they're saying that they're not releasing the reason why she, how she killed herself. You know, what means mm-hmm. did she use? They're not saying that. And see, this is the problem. See, this is the problem. This is why we have, you know, there's so much suspicion and distrust between police and black folks because they're not forthcoming. You got to go to court and get all kinds of, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. Why can't you just tell us what she used to hang herself and release the autopsy report? See, these are the things that make problems. So I guess there'll be more of this. Upcoming about this story that is certainly not going to go away. She got pulled over by a Texas Department of Public Safety officer on a Friday for changing lanes without signaling. I mean, we do that all the time around here. The cops just look at you and keep going.
And if it works on the worst, it may write you a ticket, but that's the extent of it.
And then they're saying that she struggled with the officer, who at one point was joined by another cop, both of whom are seen struggling with land on the ground and video taken by a motorist. And they're saying that she's heard saying on the video, "I can't even effing feel my arm." Calling the police, called his mother, she slammed my head into the ground, et cetera, et cetera. But she it's just kind of, it's just sad that these things keep happening, and you get the same results. You get the same results. They're hiding something again, and so this is something we're going to keep an eye on. She was a college student, man, Wayne. She was active in the sorority that the
woman that was won the first Academy Award was a part of, because one of my former council members, when she put it out on Facebook, she made mention of it, and because she's a member of that same sorority, and actually I'm an honorary gentleman because I got honored by them nationally when I was mayor. So I know she's very active in this sorority, and so they were actually calling for an investigation and so forth about what happened to her. So yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's sad because they're not saying what happened. I get that part. They're saying what happened to her, but they're not saying what she used to kill herself. They're not saying what she used. I mean, you're going to be suspicious from Texas anyway. I mean, automatically, there's going to be a whole pile of suspicion about Texas. We all know how Texas operates.
Where the governor's under indictment.
Yeah, well, he's no longer the governor. He left.
Rick Perry resigned.
Yes.
Oh, well, I didn't realize
somebody else. That's a news cycle I missed. Yeah, the lieutenant governor, if they had one. I don't know if they had a special. They want
Chris Christie to do the same thing.
Yeah, well, you know what? His. We'll talk about him a little bit later on in the political news. His campaign is, it's horrific. And the Democrats in New Jersey, I'm going to bring on 35th District Assemblywoman Shimana Sumter. I'm going to have her come in and talk to us some more. Maybe try to get John Kerry, who's the state Democratic chairman for New Jersey. I may try to get him to come in and talk a little bit about this because, the Dems have to be wringing their hands now, like the evil mad scientists because Christie, we're going to get to this. We'll get to Christie in when we talk in the next segment about politics. And everything like that. But yeah, this is definitely a sad story here. And hopefully we can get the truth about what happened with this young lady. All right, everybody, it's about this drive time right now. Rock show featuring Man Wayne Smith. We're just about at our break point right here. But the next segment, we'll talk about Trump, Man Wayne. We'll talk about the Mexican billionaire drug dealer who was put a pipe on Trump's head. he put a price on Trump's comb over.
According to Trump, he's worth $10 billion. I wonder how much income tax he paid.
Yeah, probably less than I did. Yeah,
you're probably right, bro.
Yeah, they're on me like I'm very greedy.
And the man, he proclaimed bragging, "I'm worth $10 billion." Well, how much taxes did you pay?
Yeah, well, so the funny thing, Wayne, that the same Mexican he was talking about, Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim, make Trump look like a welfare.
Oh yeah, look like his dad. That's Trump change.
Right, Carlos Slim worth $71 billion. One of the richest men in the world, as a matter of fact, coming from Mexico. I guess they wouldn't mind if he crossed the border. But anyway, we'll take a break, everybody. And we'll come back with more of myself and Mary Wayne Smith and the rest of the program. It's the Ron Kelly Show. He's meeting with Mary Wayne Smith. And we are on theRonBlockTheRadio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show on BlockTheRadio.com. And on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein, Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barasa, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more.
Are you ready?
Of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Not much longer, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's Mayor Wayne Smith, yours truly, Ron Kelly, doing our thing on a Friday afternoon. It's July 17th. Not that it's my brother's birthday. Shout out to my brother Quinn. His birthday is today, July 17th, 2015. I don't even know what month of the year he was born. But anyway, shout out to my brother.
I can tell you how you can figure who's the oldest or the youngest and how many years are you apart. I know you know that.
It's only one. But anyway,
So how many years are you apart?
It's only one. One.
Oh, 1 year apart. So, who's older and younger?
1 year apart, yeah. He's younger.
So now you know what year he was born.
Yeah. Well, right? Yeah, you can figure it out that way. That's right. You're right, man. When you're not right, it's a long show. Man, we speak to your people on Kelly. Doing what we do every Friday afternoon, 6 p.m. right here on the Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com. And Mr. Obama goes to prison, you know. And May Wayne, I can't. That's the most. I mean, can you imagine the transformational effect that that's going to have on those prisoners? That the President of the United States walked the halls of that place and even met with prisoners. You know, it must have been just the most it must have been the most inspirational thing that has happened for those prisoners, really, that the president is advocating for criminal justice reform. And then here comes the GOP, here comes the psychopath, the psychopath GOP, conservative talk radio host, bashing Obama once again for trying to do the right thing. And
interesting.
I thought it was great.
Criminal justice reform, that even the Koch brothers stepping up and putting money behind, along with the ACLU, saying that America has criminalized so many things that it's hard for a person to sometimes know what's criminal and what's not. And we are, at least in the Western world, if not the whole world, we incarcerate more people than anybody else. So when the incarceration level, again, starts to affect people across the board, not just us, because if it was just us, they went through that. Bill Clinton just did an apology for his crime bill during that era, which stiffened penalties and did the disparity with crack cocaine, which the Obama administration cleaned up, has now, because his wife is running for president, said that that was an era that put more people in jail than anything. So the president is making an effort to, one, I think it was, you're right, it had to be transformative, Ron, for the first time in history that the president of the United States recognized prisoners as people. And for those of us who live in urban neighborhoods or even have relatives and people that we know who've been incarcerated, whether they were unjustly incarcerated or they were they should have been there. They at some point in time, unless they got a life sentence, they're going to come home. And so are we going to be a society that says that there are no chances for people, that they should continue to do crime because we locked them out of everything, public housing, any kind of benefits, the employment market, all those kinds of things, then we have already created a permanent criminal class. And so unless
they can't vote, Wayne. I'm sorry, they can't vote.
And they can't vote. That's right. They have no exercise to influence the outcome of. And that's not true all over. They're, like in New Jersey, once you finish your probation, your parole, you have no obligations to the state. All you got to do is re-register. You can vote again. But a lot of people don't know that. Now, other parts of the country, they're permanently banned from voting. But in our state where we live, you can actually, after you're finished with all those obligations for the state, all you have to do is re-register. There's no lifetime prohibition. But in other states, you're absolutely right, there are. So even that has to be cleaned up because the myth carries more weight in states that where people can vote. They don't know they can because the general myth is that they can't vote anytime, but that's not entirely true in all of 50 states. And a majority of them, I believe that's so. So, you know, all those kinds of things where a person is just, I think it was Michelle Alexander who coined the phrase, the new Jim Crow. It's another way to segment a group of people and just kind of make them second-class citizens forever. There's nothing they can do unless they're extraordinarily blessed to overcome that challenge. Nothing the system does will help them overcome that challenge. They just have to be an extraordinarily individual. Now, you can name a few like Don King, and there's a brother that's very active in the African-American Chamber of Commerce who built a business. There's some that have, you know, no matter what the barriers, overcome whatever challenges they face. But the overwhelming majority end up back in prison or on the margins of society.
Right, getting very highly marginalized after they get out of prison. And see, President Obama's voice is very powerful on this thing, and we needed the leader of the free world to come forward. We needed the leader of the free world to come forward. And we needed him to come forward and speak on this because, you know, of course, the GOP and the ones who are running for, you know, the 15, and then there was 15. We'll get to that a little bit later on. The 15 people who are running for president are all over this thing. And President Obama is not, see, this is the the okey doke, the Kool Aid they try to pour down our throats, the GOP, the Kook Fringe, Tea Party, et cetera, et cetera. And see, this is what they're doing. They're going around saying, oh, well, you know, the president is trying to make it so nobody gets punished, and that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, those laws, the drug laws that came out during the, I believe it was the Clinton era, mandatory life sentences, said it just shouldn't be. You know, it's wrong, and President Obama recognizes it being wrong. There's a lot of people have only done something one time in their whole life, and they get life sentences for that. And then the other unfair thing is the difference between powdered cocaine and crack cocaine, where the sentences are higher for crack cocaine than it is for powdered cocaine. And you know, black folks are the ones that smoke crack the most. You know, and white people, for the most part, sniff coke. So those people who were getting caught with powdered coke were getting less sentences or lighter sentences than the people who had crack, because crack was seen as more of a scourge on society than powder cocaine. Coke is coke to me. But that's another thing that was being used to prosecute black folks, because black folks were the main main users of crack cocaine. So the whole thing is just, you know, a problem. And like I said, there's been a psychopath, GOP, and the talk radio personalities on the conservative side are the ones who were not Al Sharpton, not Jesse Jackson, not some of the black leaders. It's not Cornell Brooks, who's head of the NAACP. It's the talk radio conservatives that are, you know, that are making noise about some of the stuff they're saying about one people.
Wait till the Koch brothers buy ads on the stations promoting criminal justice reform.
Right, because you said the Koch brothers, and that's strange, but this is true, because there's more people locked up in America than any other industrialized country, world. And something needs to be done about that. And I think that the president's visit to that prison immediately would, I bet you those inmates, when they get out of jail, will never go back. They had an opportunity to sit with President. They had to be model prisoners to be able to sit with the president. So they were even more model, you know.
You know the ones, the two that escaped from the prison, they were model prisoners too.
Yeah, that's true. The Mexican drug lord, I have to look at El Chapo, was probably a model prisoner too.
Yeah, but I knew those other people were. That's how they were able to get access to that infrastructure of the prison to get out.
Yeah, a mile long. A mile is 5,280 feet. That's a mile. So you imagine somebody digs a tunnel that long to get this man out. So you have to know.
He went in for them to let him out.
Yeah, he was a billionaire, so, you know, he's still a billionaire. They're never going to catch him. If he goes somewhere, they're never going to catch him. Yeah. Unfortunately, now Mexico really could use some criminal justice reform. There is none. But, so we have the president going to the prison in Oklahoma, and a funny thing happened on the way to the prison, man, Wayne, as he was driving, there were hundreds of folks, maybe 100 folks, behind the Confederate flags, like it's Obama's fault that all of this is happening. And we're going to get more into what Obama's fault is and what it isn't, because we're a little bit on the program, everybody. We're going to talk about ISIS and how did ISIS come to power in the first place. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to take your phone call too if you care to. It's 347-426-3214, 347-426-3214, Mayor Wayne and I. We're here at your service with one half of our brain tied behind our back to make it fair. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and we're here on blogtalkradio.com. So, I think it was a good thing that the president went to the...
Oh, I agree.
I think it's a good thing because the GOP, they just want the president to sit in his ivory tower and not do anything. You know, they want us to bully up other people. They want us to, stand up to Russia, stand up to Iran. What was the alternative with the Iran deal? What was the alternative? See, this is what I hate about the GOP and the Republicans, because they trash everything that the president tries to do, everything that the Democrats try to do, but they never come up with their own solution. Never. With Obamacare, they just trashed it, but they didn't say anything. You know, and they act like President Obama pushed Obamacare through on his own. There were a lot of people that helped do that. It had to go through Congress. It had to pass the Senate. And then it had to pass Supreme Court muster twice.
Yep. And
twice.
Listen, this healthcare reform has been a national agenda item. Ted Kennedy was one of the few that worked on it. So, I mean, this has been a 20-year. Hillary Clinton was the president's, Bill Clinton's emissary at developing. They criticized her for doing it in secret. You remember that? Trying to even just study it and come up with a proposal. But this has been on the national consciousness, on the national agenda for a very long time, and kudos to the president for figuring out a way to get it done.
And see, the other thing, too, man, Wayne, you see, now, of course there's going to be problems. You know, there's going to be problems. There was problems with Social Security when this person implemented, 50-something years ago.
Absolutely right.
There were lots of problems with Medicaid and Medicare. There were lots of problems. And over the years, we figured out a way. Now, nobody even talks about Medicare and Medicaid besides the fact that it's an entitlement. You know, Republicans and the GOP do not want us to have entitlements. Well, they don't want anybody to have entitlements. So here we are with Obamacare. And again, nobody offered a solution to Obamacare. And this is what the GOP does. They just trash everything and they don't know what the hell they're doing, so they don't even have a solution. With Obamacare, they crashed it, smashed it, you know, it still passed anyway, and then they try to use it against the president. He was reelected anyway, but they don't offer an alternative. So this is what I hate about GOP and the Coop Friends Tea Parties and compassionate conservatives, if there is such a thing. This is what I don't understand about them, but they never come up with an alternative. They didn't come up with an alternative for Obamacare. They trashed the Iran deal, but they didn't offer an alternative. You see, because we can't sit around and wait for Israel, which I think Netanyahu is just chomping at the bit, Mayor Wayne. I think Netanyahu, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, is chomping at the bit to send some warplanes into Iran to blow up their facility. That's what he wants to do, which is going to start a whole bunch of crap over there that we may not be able to stop. So what's the alternative to the Iran deal? We can't just push people around. We can't just bully people around. Yeah, we know Iran's, well, we don't know for sure, but we're told, I'll put it like that, allegedly, that Iran is a state sponsor of terrorism. Now, whether there's actual proof of that, I don't know, but this is what we're told. Now, but we can't just make, as much as we don't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon, I don't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon, but what do we do? You know, what do we do? Do we just go over there and bomb them? Do we tell a sovereign nation what they can't have? You know, because we're not even supposed to do that. But I think that what's the alternative? What is the alternative? If we can't, you know, what's the alternative to that deal? What you see, they don't have one. We can't just go over there and just bomb the people. We can't do it. Iran has some pretty powerful friends. Russia is one of them. And, you know, I don't want to be sitting here waiting for the missiles to arrive. You know, I got a lot of things to do. So I think that the Iran deal, while it may not have been the best deal, I can't see anything up that anybody else was trying to put on the table to deal with this problem. You know, in the next segment, after we take a break, we'll talk about Iran and Iraq. We'll talk about ISIS and how ISIS even came about. And we'll talk a little bit more about Donald Trump. Has Donald Trump destroyed the GOP chances of winning the White House in 2015? I think that they have. We'll talk about that as well. And we'll take a call. It's 347-426-3214. Or you can go in the chat room on blogtalkradio.com. Or you can get us on Facebook. Or you can tweet me to Ron Cutler Show, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll talk about that as well. Because, you know, there's a reason why ISIS came up in the first place. What's the appeal, mainly?
You know, well, I think it's just a reconfiguration of Bin Laden's group and using some different approaches and different tactics. It's very much an analogy of the drug trade in the cities. You kill a gang and then some little guys in the wings waiting for all those folks to go to jail. Then he reconfigures and starts to trade back up. I think ISIS is very, what was the name of Bin Laden's group?
Al-Qaeda.
What is
Al-Qaeda.
It? Al-Qaeda. I think it's just a reconfiguration of Al-Qaeda. I really do.
Yeah, but what's the appeal? What's the appeal of Al-Qaeda, whatever they call it? What's the appeal of Al-Qaeda? What's the appeal of ISIS, rather? Because we know that these are exactly the attacks that the president and Homeland Security officials were afraid of the lone wolf attacks, such as the one that happened in Tennessee, where these four soldiers were killed. And you know what? There's supposed to be, after some of those shootings, of servicemen by other servicemen in this country, I believe there was a law passed or something that was passed that no one on military bases allowed to carry guns.
That's why there was no firing back at the guy when he came in there. So yeah, they'll probably adjust that to some degree.
they're going to have to. They're going to need more people patrolling those. They're going to need more people patrolling those facilities because, you know, and that's one of the things that outrages a lot of Americans. Here we go blaming it on Obama. That was the place before Obama even showed up on the scene. You know, and when everything falls to his feet because he's the president of the United States of America, so everything falls. You know, as people, we'll get more into that. We'll talk about ISIS and how ISIS came about in the first place, and a lot more. We'll talk about a lot more when we come back. It's Mark Kelly Show, featuring Man Wayne Smith, and we're on blogtalkradio.com.
There was a need in talk radio, and one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is marching on society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com.
Some statistics are surprising, some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
And yes, indeed, it's the Ron Kelly Show for a Friday, once again, July 17, 2015. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this afternoon. Man, Wayne Smith and I do our level best to inform and enlighten you and help you understand what's going on in this strange world of ours. And, you know, and let's talk a little bit about ISIS, man, Wayne. Now, ISIS, they should have left well enough alone. And I was talking to an individual this afternoon about this. They should have left well enough alone because, you know, President Bush, former President George W. Bush, you know, when he was pushing the invasion of Iraq, because that's what it was, when he was pushing that, he talked about how those people were being brutalized by Saddam Hussein. When it began to become abundantly clear, Mayor Wayne, that there were no weapons there, he started to push this notion, like we're supposed to care, that Saddam Hussein is brutalizing his people. Now, I saw a picture of a street in downtown Iraq, that was taken before the United States invaded Iraq, blew everything up. And it looks, you know, the way it looks now, it looks like it looks terrible. You know, in the picture of this street in some square in Iraq, the before picture, before the United States went in there, it was a bustling, busy street with lots of folks, lots of stores, folks out shopping and doing what they need to do. And you see a picture of it today, and it's totally pulverized. By, you know, the United States went in there. There's no activity going on. There's no commerce taking place because we went in there and we destroyed these cities. And I've always said, man, Wayne, there's no way we should have ever gone into. What are we doing there? What are we doing in Iraq? What are we doing there? What are we doing in Libya? You see, this is where ISIS came from because. You know, say what you will about, you know, Saddam Hussein, but Saddam Hussein had that place on lockdown. You know, and whatever he was doing, I mean, if they're a sovereign country, whatever he was doing, he was allowed to do. That was just an excuse by Bush once it became, abundantly clear that there were no weapons over there. Then he started pushing to liberate the Iraqi people. Look around the weekend about what's going on over there. We got enough problems. And so this is how ISIS and Al Qaeda, they really began to flourish, because those states, Iraq and Libya, were being controlled by Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi. And you couldn't just do it. The ISIS would have never came about if we hadn't destroyed those governments. And because you can see what's happening now. Yeah. But this is where ISIS came from. George Bush and the Vice President Cheney and all the people who were in the Bush administration who pushed for this invasion of Iraq and you look at Libya. And you see the Congress, they're so bent on prosecuting President Obama and former Secretary Clinton by saying that they did something wrong, and they didn't do nothing wrong. What we did was we should have left Muammar Gaddafi where he was. Even if those people were being brutalized, it wasn't none of our business. And once they got rid of those powerful men, that's when ISIS and these people came about. This is where they came from. They came from once, because what happened was the United States went into they destabilized these countries. Because whatever Saddam Hussein was doing to his people, it was working, because nobody wasn't doing nothing wrong over there. You know, so I think that, now I want to know what you think. I think that the Al Qaeda and ISIS began to flourish when they took out Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi. That's what I think. Did they destabilize those countries?
I think that's when they came in. I think some of those troops who bought into that vision, who were able to escape or were young and bought into that vision and were maybe not formally part of the military or were part of whatever espionage operation they had going, they reconfigured and went underground and began through social media and others to get some kind of communication. And, they have very much like the gang culture in the United States, they use the graffiti and use code words to, get messages to each other. So I think essentially that's what this ISIS is, an extremist group who has a way of communicating with certain individuals, and they use social media to get some of that messaging out and to indoctrinate their crew. So, I think, that's why they say that the battle now, some of the warfare will be a cyber warfare, not only in ideas, but even in the technology of crippling companies or countries or hacking. So even the way you influence minds now, people are so much, at least a certain segment, are on, used to influence everybody through television, so now you don't do that as much. You still can affect some people. You can affect some people through the radio. And quiet is kept, even though there's been this concerted effort to eliminate all print. It hasn't happened yet, so a few people still read books and newspapers and magazines and all of that. And then, but the social media world is more of a young world. Most of these extremists you see are relatively young too, and so they're
right. They're easily influenced too, right?
Influenced by whatever poverty and ignorance or whatever the case may be. So they're able to unfiltered, even in a different kind of domestic terrorist, even a little guy that killed the people in the. In Charleston, some of his messaging about the Confederacy and white supremacy and black inferiority was fueled through the internet. So it's a way to educate in a way that nobody knows but you and that computer. And and that's what I think they're doing. The world is always a world of the battle is always waged in the hearts and minds of men before anybody gets killed. So, you know, if you can influence the mind and the heart to do good or evil. And so that's what they're you know, using the psychological ploys through the internet and whatever, you know, that's the master way of communicating. And then they convince them to take an action, that belief system becomes so strong that, you know, the heart and mind is converted evilly, and they go out and create an action because they think that, you know, their reward that somehow comes from doing this evil.
Yeah, well, see, I know that they use Twitter and they use some of the things about, but what are the mindsets of these domestic terrorists, so to speak, like this young boy, 24 years old, who went to high school here, went to college here, they may not have been born here, but he was a naturalized citizen of the United States.
So imagine
and
you
what,
come to the
what's
United
the
appeal? States. You come from a foreign country that pretty much we are looking at a suspect. So on an individual level, many of those people face that. So they already come from a culture that says probably we're not so good, even though his parents want him to come to the United States and get educated. So they come here, they still have those thoughts about the United States. They're still driven by that. They come in and they live in a world where probably somebody may have said something, done, you know, that's in our culture. There's a propensity for that, and it doesn't give anybody the right to kill anybody. But that resentment harbors inside of them, along with whatever philosophical diet they're eating, and they enact it. They say, this society is so unjust. This, da, 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 da. And you know, they get enough pounding inside of their head to think, you know, everybody here in the Western world is a devil, and they enact it. That's why the battle was always for the minds and hearts of men and women. No matter how you cut it, if you win the hearts and minds of the people, you can get, listen, the guy Jim Jones was crazy. He convinced the people to go to Guyana. He'd done good work first. Fed the poor, done things in San Francisco that were really good. And then he went on a deep end, but the hearts and minds of the people were bought, and he got them to kill themselves.
And see, and I'm wondering, like, what the appeal is. And I guess you're probably right. You keep telling somebody something over and over again, like kids who, like mothers who tell their kids that daddy ain't nothing. You know, they're gonna start believing that daddy ain't nothing.
Absolutely.
You know, they're gonna start believing that. Right, they get programmed because racists are not born; they're bred. You know, and they keep they grow up doing the same thing over and over again.
Father ain't nothing, and you ain't gonna be nothing. He ends up nothing.
Right.
So
that's the thing
all day, and that's what he's gonna what they call the self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right, and that's the appeal. That's
mm-hmm.
how they appeal to people. They keep saying America sucks, and you know we're no good, and all this stuff. And that's the appeal, and this is the fear of because a group can be tracked, the lone wolves can't be tracked.
Right.
But I think they
see that computer. I've identified one. Somebody bit.
And this man
in mind said, "Well, you ought to do this. You ought to consider that. They're no good. They ought to be killed."
I was gonna say this man wasn't on the radar. He wasn't someone who was he wasn't on the hit list, so to speak, of folks who we should be watching. He wasn't there. So he flew completely under the radar, and I don't think there was anything. I'm not sure if there was anything in his social media
mm-hmm.
Postings about killing people. So that, you know, this is a totally a surprise attack. But I think they ought to reverse that decision and allow more soldiers on base with the carry gun, or at least have MPs, more MPs walking around to protect these men, because this is something that's going to happen again. It's happening more and more often here in the United States of America, and it's going to keep happening. But I do believe, and it's my belief that because we went into Iraq and we destroyed the country, broke down the government, et cetera, same thing with Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, you know, helped to get rid of him. And they you say what you say what you want about them. I mean, that's how they lived over there, and those people were kept in check in Iraq and Iran, and there wouldn't be no ISIS running around doing the things that they were doing if Muammar Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein were still alive. I just don't
believe that. That's why, you know, there was the conflicting in American values were, do we support a dictator who has more control in stopping and keeps these insurrections from occurring, or do we allow for a leader who calls for a more open dialogue? And so that's always the American challenge. And so people say, how could they support these people? Da, 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 da. And they were supporting the Shah of Iran, Saddam Hussein. And then as rebellion hits them, people begin to say, let's fund the people that are doing the insurrection. And that's how these other people get in power. That's where Saddam was on the other side before. And when once he got in power, the United States viewed him, at least the Bush one, thought they were better for keeping, as you say, containment of some of the problems. So, but then Saddam wanted to become the leader of the Middle East and became a little bit more radical.
Right, but yeah, because, they went into, now the first Bush, when Saddam Hussein went into Kuwait, okay, the first Gulf War, Operation Something Freedom, now that was justified. Because Kuwait was an ally, and Saddam Hussein ran over Kuwait, and we had every right to go over there and do what we did with the first Bush. But the second one now, whatever those people were doing, however the government was being run, Iraq was a sovereign nation, and our only job was to get them out of Kuwait. We didn't have to go back there. You know, when we went back there, that's when it became a problem. But Donald Trump is the gift that keeps on giving. And I do believe we got about 2.5 minutes left of the program, everybody. Donald Trump is a gift that keeps on giving because they've lost the Hispanic vote. It's gone because, you know, the lion's share of Hispanics in this country watch Univision. And Univision pulled out of the Trump-sponsored Miss American pageant, and Trump just PO'd a lot of minorities, a lot of and not just Mexicans, but all types of all kinds of Latinos. He alienated a lot of people. So you got to figure that the Latino vote is gone. It's gone. Now they never had the black vote. Now they may have a few token black conservatives. With black conservatives, what they do is they cross over to the dark side, but they don't try to, and they turn into conservatives, and they start bashing. They start bashing black folks and liberals instead of trying to bring. Because we should be in both parties, but it seems like when black people cross over to conservatism, they leave their blackness at the door for some reason.
Except for a few like Colin Powell.
Came to his senses and came back, right.
yeah. So there are a few of them that will stand up to the party when necessary. They may be more conservative on fiscal issues and view the approach to, bettering the black community as more self-achievement, pull yourself by your own bootstraps philosophy. But by and large, they're against racist actions and so forth and so on. And a few of them will stand. It's just not enough of them to make a critical mass, and it's not enough of us inside that party to make any policy impact.
Right. And, we need to definitely do that. We got about 20 seconds left, Mayor Wayne. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining Mayor Wayne Smith and us today. Mayor Wayne Smith and I today. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of the Blockhead Show featuring Irvington Mayor Wayne Smith. So until then, everybody. It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice, and we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Mayor Wayne.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good weekend. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. We're out of here.